week, with the Lord's help, we'll talk about the little horn that is coming. And wonder, Bruce, if you can give us some scriptures to look at as an outline for that.
Well, Daniel chapter 7 is the place where you get that the person mentioned. 7th chapter of Daniel, and verse 7 and verse 8. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up from among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and speaking, a mouth speaking great things. Verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom of the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour before the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns under this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time, and times, and dividing of a time. And then I think to go with that, it would only be right to read the first 8 verses or so of Revelation 13. Revelation 13 in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded or slain to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world, or should read all the earth, wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, and gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written. And then it should read, from the foundation of the world in the book of the life, a book of life of the slain lamb. Suppose you could find the comments this morning to the 13th of Revelation. Although you actually get the title in Daniel 7, it's being called the Little Horn.
Yes, last week we learned that the beast is a name for this confederacy of nations, of these 10 nations. I said, did we learn last week that the beast was also a name for these 10 nations?
Yes, the beast is a name for the revived Roman Empire, these 10 kingdom confederacy. But also, in the middle of the week, the 7 years of tribulation that are going to come on the earth, there's going to be this man that's going to rise up from among these kingdoms, and he's going to take over the power as a dictator of this the empire. And he is also called the beast personally. Called the little horn or the beast. He's referred to as the king of Babylon as well, because the Western Confederacy, which we speak of as the revived Roman Empire, is also looked at in prophecy as Babylon. He's the king. Okay.
So then there is the personal beast, which we talked about here, read about this morning, and then there's also this system that is called. So it's important to see that distinction, isn't it? Yeah. To see our way through.
The system or the empire will be formed or at least will be around at the early, first part of the week of 7 years, because it will make a covenant with the Jewish people. But the personal beast that we're speaking of here comes up 3.5 years later, takes over the kingdom and the empire. He'll rule over the whole Western earth, not the whole world as you hear sometimes being taught, but the whole Western earth, that is the Christianized nations, and he'll reign over his empire and have influence, as we have read here, to cause them all to do obeisance to his power and to worship him. Satan, no doubt, will be indwelling this person, because we find that the dragon, who is a picture of Satan, is giving him his power. Satan has wanted worship from man all the way through. We read that in Luke 4 when the Lord was speaking to Satan and he wanted worship there. And so in this man he will have worship, because the world will worship him.
So you're saying in verse 2, the attributes of the leopard and the bear and the lion are attributes of this personal beast?
No, the first three verses are really referring to the empire.
Yeah, but you just said that the dragon gave him power.
Yes, well, you get it down in verse 4.
Okay.
They worshiped the dragon, which gave unto the power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, you see. Does everyone understand what it means in the first verse when it says the beast had 7 heads and 10 horns? Do you understand what the 7 heads are?
Should have 10 heads. What happened to the other 3? We had that in Daniel 7 this morning. One of them took over 3 of them. Daniel 7:24.
Yes, I believe that the 7 heads here, though, are referring to the 7 forms of government that the Roman Empire has passed through throughout the years. Okay, the forms of government. They have had different types of government. They've had kings, they've had dictators, they've had military tribunes, they've had imperial power, and they've had councils and so on. These different forms of government is what is spoken of in the 7 heads. Okay, and the 10 horns refer, as we have already mentioned now in Daniel 7, as these 10 kings that have a nation under them. And 10 of these kings will be subdued by this one that will come up later. 3 of them. 3 of the 10 horns.
But the remainder of the 7 will be under his control, won't they?
Yes, I still believe that all 10 will be there. It's just that someone had put it, that perhaps the 3 will be the 3 strongest that will try to resist his rising up to overthrow the power of the empire. And when they resist him, he will put them down. The other 7, well, they don't have the power that the first 3 had, so they will just submit. And so he'll take over the whole 10. Because we read in the 17th chapter that all 10 are still there, and they finally give up and give all their power to him. So it's not that the kingdom is reduced from 10 nations to 7 nations or anything like that. There's still the 10. You might wonder where he gets all this power from and how he can do this. But we have to realize that the 12th chapter comes before the 13th chapter in Revelation. And in the 12th chapter, Satan is cast to the earth. And Satan goes about to find agents to carry out his end. And this personal beast that we're speaking of here, this little horn, will be Satan's chief political agent. He will indwell this man, give him great power, and he will be given to rise up quickly. You see, what we have been speaking about in Daniel 9 last week is the order of government that will be in the empire in the first 3.5 years under the Roman prince. The woman will ride the beast at that time, the Bible tells us. That woman is the religious system. She'll control the Roman prince, manipulate him. He will be a figurehead of the empire, but she'll manipulate him until about the middle of the week the beast or the empire will get tired of her and throw her off altogether, and there will be a great upheaval, and a great state of anarchy will reign in the Western Empire, this revived Roman Empire, for a period of time. And out of this confused state of things, this man will come up and take over when things are unstable.
Is it correct in stating then that although these events are going to happen in a certain period of time in a certain order, that although Satan's been cast up and will be down here, he can only go as fast as God will allow him? God's still sovereign over all.
Yeah, God never gives up that place of his own. We can see it really in the book of Revelation, tremendous control, really. And yet we spoke of before, some time ago, how that the Spirit of God in the tribulation period will relax his grip, if you would say, on the earth in a certain sense of the way he is doing it now. But it's never really relaxed fully ever. There is, it's just that man is allowed to do what he really wants to do, which fits into what God has allowed.
So in verse 3 it says, and one of the heads, as it were wounded or slain to death. I know that there are sensational writers on the book of Revelation who are speaking of this ruler or something, he'll be assassinated and he'll die, and they'll miraculously rise up from the dead, resurrected and so on. But that's not what this is referring to. One of the heads, we just mentioned that the heads are referring to the form of government that will be ruling or reigning in the empire. We learn that from the 17th chapter. We don't have time to look at it today, but the seven heads are the various forms of government that the revived Roman of the Roman Empire has passed through the years.
So this form of government in verse 3 will have to have existed during the Roman Empire? Like, how many people are aware of the seven forms of government that existed during the Roman Empire? That's why I just question that, because it says all the world wondered after the beast because it came back. Well, if a specific political trait that existed in the Roman Empire came to be right now, would any one of us be able to recognize it?
Well, what we've been speaking of is we have the 7 years. In the first 3.5 years, the empire will take on a certain character and will be ruled by a certain form of government, that is, under the woman and under the coming prince. It'll be rather of a peaceful order of things, I understand. But when this upheaval happens in the middle of the week and this man takes over, it's going to take on a new form. And so the seventh form is that of government will be the form that will be under the woman. But that will be slain, because you see that order of government will be put to stop through this one that will rise up. And so you have one of those heads being slain. But then immediately we find that the deadly wound is healed and there is a revival now, only it's a satanic revival under this new man, the dictator. Maybe we should turn to the 17th chapter and get that more clearly. just that I didn't think we would have the time. The beast, speaking of the beast in verse 8, and then in verse 9 and 10 he's going to give an explanation. Here is the lion that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, another is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue for a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, is of the seven, and goeth into perdition, and so on. So he's saying in verse 9 and verse 10 that there are two applications or two meanings to the seven heads. One is that it refers to the city of Rome, because the city of Rome had seven mountains and had seven hills. But more than that, the seven heads refer to the seven forms of government that the Roman Empire has had. Now, the reason why I say that is because a mountain in Scripture always consistently refers to a form or an established power or government. That's something that's consistent in Scripture. And so the seven kings he's referring to are the seven forms of government that will control the Roman Empire. Five are fallen. That's at the time when John wrote this. Five are fallen. That is, five have already come in and the government had changed in the Roman Empire five different times. One is, that would be the sixth. That would be the one under which John was living at that time, that particular character of government that was existing at the time when John wrote. And then he says, and the other, that would be the seventh, is not yet come. And when it cometh, it'll come, it'll continue for a short space. That seventh is what we spoke of last week, when the empire will be revived again, and this woman will control it. She'll have this prince who will be manipulated by her. And it'll only continue for a short space. Well, we know that short space will be roughly 3.5 years. And now he goes on to speak of the beast that was and is not, and so on. He is the eighth. Now there's going to be another come up. Okay? And the eighth is of the seven, but this one will go into perdition. We learn that later, that the beast and the Antichrist will be cast in the lake of fire. And so this eighth is the one that we're speaking of this morning. The eighth is the little horn, or the personal beast of the king of Babylon.
It says he is of the seven, which means he is, he'll have the political stand of one of the seven that have existed.
That's right. It's been said it'll be imperial. They had imperial governors in the kingdom at one time, and it will be of that again.
Maybe you can explain what an imperial governor is.
Well, I don't know if I could. Perhaps someone else might be able to. Something like a dictator, I don't know.
Like an emperor. Was that the imperial time of Rome when we had emperors?
Now, verse 11, just to go on. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. And these have one mind, and they shall give their power and their strength to the beast. Okay? And being totally satanically mad, he is so occupied with his power and his greatness, he's got enough courage to even make war with the Lamb. So the next verse goes on and says, and these shall make war with the Lamb. That's the Lord Jesus. Does that help explain what we're speaking of now in the 13th chapter? So one head is wounded or slain, and immediately there is a revival of it. Only it's in a satanic way now, because it's controlled by a man who's indwelt by the power of Satan himself.
So the intense effects of Satan's power will not really be felt until the midpoint of the week. We often think, and I'm guilty of this, of thinking that as soon as the Lord takes us home, that just everything is just going to be satanic stuff flowing everywhere. I'm sure there will be, but it appears here that the real point at which this all breaks loose is the middle point of the week, when this man takes control. Because governments and systems and worldly systems are really characterized by the leadership that they have.
Yes,
and his angels were cast out of it.
So that's a great power on this earth. You can't see them, but it's a great magnitude power that suddenly comes into this scene, isn't it? And controlling those kings.
That would still be very consistent with the way Satan works now, very subtly. Everybody thinks, oh, things are really good, or the first thing I hear is, and all of a sudden everybody finds you in trouble. It seems to be the way he works still now.
During the first 3.5, is it not that it's a lot of providential disaster that happens during those years, famines and terrible pestilence and troubles all over the place, all over the globe? And that doesn't, at that point, touch the rich, does it? At what point is the rich touched? The common laborer and so on is affected during the first part. And at what point does the rich really feel the crunch?
The rich will not feel it because of the verse that you're thinking of is Revelation 6 and verse 6.
Touch not the oil and the wine.
Touch not the oil and the wine. Those are two symbols in the Bible, again, consistent in the Bible, of luxury. He that loveth oil and wine shall not be rich, it says in Proverbs and so on. It speaks to us of luxury. Only the high class of the luxury can enjoy these luxuries. So he's touched not the oil and wine refers to those who are of that class. When these providential things will come into the earth, the wealthy will not feel it so much right away, which will be particularly many of the Jews who have amassed wealth to themselves commercially. But then in the 8th chapter, this is now when the latter part of the week begins. The 8th chapter gives us a condition of things in the western part of the earth that will happen in the last half of the week, the last 3.5 years. And in the first angel in verse 7, it says that he sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. There you have the wealth and the human prosperity being destroyed. You see, green grass speaks to us of human prosperity. Grass is a symbol of the of men in their life, and green grass would speak to us of the healthy in them. And we find that the green grass is burnt up. That's what that symbolizes.
So in verse 4, who is they? They worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. Who is that?
Latter part of verse 3. It says, and all the world wondered after the beast. And that's why so many feel that this man will rise up and rule over the whole world, Russia and everything. But that's not what the Bible is teaching. We must remember that he takes over the western part of the earth, the revived Roman Empire we're speaking of. And it's the prophetic earth that he has control over. The prophetic earth is the area where the Roman Empire existed before, which would include the America as well, because they have really come out of Western Europe. So it should read, in a better translation, and the whole earth wandered after the beast. So that's the Western earth. And they, out of the same class, worshipped the dragon. So this Western Christianized part of the earth is going to be forced to worship this man who is really Satan personified. He will indwell in that. He has an agent we'll read about next week, the Antichrist, the false prophet, who will promote this, all those things.
But it appears there in verse 4 that there will be a direct worship of the dragon, a direct worship of Satan in this. And the worship of the beast.
Mm-hmm. Satan has what we speak of as the triune of evil, or the trinity of evil. You have the dragon, that's in chapter 12 and also here in this verse. You have the beast, and you have the Antichrist. And all three of them will encourage worship of himself. We have the worship of the dragon in that verse 4. We have the worship of the beast in verse 4. And the Antichrist, you have to turn over to 2 Thessalonians when he goes and sits in the temple and pretends that he is God, and he gets worshipped too. So all three of them will be pose himself as God and will receive worship from apostate Christendom.
That'll be a forced worship.
Yes. That's verse 15 of our chapter. The latter part of the verse. You see, there will be an image made of this beast, and people will be forced to bow down to the image and worship it. And it says, it will cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So people will be forced to worship the beast. Again, that's not Russia. That's the Western Earth, right?
Yeah. How far, you say that goes right over? Well, most of Europe, I suppose. Could take any other nations too. If you say I'm from Europe anyway.
Yeah.
American, Canadians, most of them.
Yeah. So as you see, you have it'll be Western Europe, and of course the land of Israel too. But America has been formed out of Europe. It's been populated by all peoples of the earth now. It's quite a cosmopolitan area, Canada and U.S. and so on. But it has been formed out of Europe. And we have that one verse in Daniel 2 that tells us that they are going to mix themselves with the seed of men, the Roman Empire, and they're going to spread. And that's really what would cause us to believe that it would take in more than just Western Europe, where the old Roman Empire had its boundaries. Daniel 2 and verse 43. This is speaking about the fourth kingdom as the Roman Empire. We don't have time to read all about it, but in verse 43, it says, "Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one for another, even as iron is not mixed with clay."